And as you open the inside, you'll see this area of scripture surfing. And that is our readings for this coming up week individually. If you want to grow in the Lord, if you want to grow with leaps and bounds, you got to be alone with the Lord. You got to spend time with the Lord. And that's simply what the scripture surfing is. That's an opportunity. That's some water there offered for you, the living word. And so this week, get in that habit if you're not. If you're not in that habit. And read God's word. Look into it. And that's what this Monday through Sunday, these readings are. This is reading through God's word. Reading the whole of His word. And so we just want to have a taste from last week. We just want to surf through a little bit from last week on last week's readings, last Thursday and Friday's readings. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 33, and we'll have a few readings from last week's individual readings. On Thursday and Friday, Genesis chapter 33, look at verse 4. And if you're new at this, there's a Bible beside you in the chair. And that's the first book of the Bible, Genesis. In chapter 33, in verse 4. Esau, this man, Esau and Jacob, these brothers, Jacob stole Esau's birthright. And he really did him wrong. And so Jacob is afraid Esau is going to be really angry with him. But let's look how Esau reacts here in verse 4. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. And they wept. Talk about redemption. Building on what Kathy has just shared. Esau was one who forgave. Forgave. Do you have a relationship that you need to do what Esau did here? And then look at chapter 34 in verse 13. It says, because they're sitting, and we learn from this passage of Scripture here that we need wisdom. We need to act in wisdom. We need to operate in wisdom. These young men did not operate in wisdom. Because their sister Dinah had been defiled, Jacob's sons replied deceitfully as they spoke to Shechem and his father Hamor. They did not go God's way. They did not follow wisdom. Always follow wisdom. And then in chapter 35, look at verse 4. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. Maybe there's something that you love too much in life. We talked about that last week. Maybe there's something you need to put on God's altar and just say, God, I surrender this thing to you. In the depths of my heart, it is yours, Lord. And you need to bury it, so to speak. Don't let there be any other gods in your life. And then in chapter 36, look at verse 15. These were the chiefs among Esau's descendants, the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn of Esau, chiefs of Teman, Omar, Zepho, Kenaz, and he goes on from there. But the thing that's so amazing to me in this chapter is God is so organized. God tells us. He's a God of organization. He does things, and He tells us to be do things decently and in order. We need that in our lives as well. Then turn over to our New Testament readings in Matthew 17, and look at verse 15. And if you're new at this, that's the New Testament's the last third of your Bible there. And so you'll see Matthew is the first book, the New Testament. Matthew 17, look at verse 15. And then look at verse 18. In verse 15, it says, Lord, have mercy on my son, he said, speaking to Jesus. Have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire, into the water. Then in verse 18, notice Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Did you notice the difference? The man considered it all physical. He said, "My son has seizures." Jesus rebuked the demon, and then he was fine. I wonder how much in today, in our world, in our culture, I wonder how much we deem as physical, and how many things we put a name on and say, "Oh, it's just a physical thing," versus something demonic. Let's look at Matthew 18 in verse 3. "And he said," Jesus, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." We need to believe like a child. Just take God at his word and say, "Oh, you said it, I believe it." Instantly. And then in Psalm 17, you turn to the middle of the Bible and then go back a little bit. If you're seeing Isaiah, back up a little more, you'll see Psalm. Look at Psalm 17 in verse 8. God says this, "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings." And then in Psalm 18, we read some of that right before our prayer time. Well, turn with me to Psalm 139. And I want to share with you, let's dive down a little bit in the scripture. I want to share with you this message, "Fearfully and wonderfully made." Let me pray. Father, we just ask that you'd speak to us right now. Lord, thank you for your living word. Thank you for speaking to our hearts right now through your word already. And Lord, please speak right now through me, Lord. Get me out of the way. We need to hear your word, Jesus. And we pray it in your name. Amen. "Fearfully and wonderfully made." I thought about a story as I was preparing this message. And just imagine this. Just imagine that that you had the opportunity to open up your home to this this world famous artist that was going to come to the United States, and you opened up your home and he came to your home, and he began to do some of his work, and he was a very famous artist. He began to do some of his work and he began to work on this piece. And he thought it through, and he got the idea for it, and he spent a lot of time doing that. And then he got his canvas, and he began to go to work, and he got his palette, and he got his different colors, and he began to paint and work. And months later, it began to just be more and more beautiful. And every brush stroke he would add, just more and more beauty. And so he worked on this art piece for months, and it was just this huge canvas, and he got it all ready, and he was thinking about presenting it. Pretty soon he was going to start, he was going to begin to advertise that he was going to make it known that he was going to release this art piece and at this local society. And so he began to advertise, or he was about to head out and start advertising that pretty soon he was going to release this piece that he had been working on, and you know, that'd probably make world news with this guy. But you began to get afraid, and you said, no, you know, I don't know if this would be a good thing. It's amazing, you know, this art piece that he's made. You know, it's absolutely amazing, but I just don't know. If this would be a good thing. What would it do for me? And you began to get afraid, and you didn't know if the media would come or whatever. And so you had some people come in, and some guys came in when he was away, and they just did away with it. They got rid of the painting. And you can imagine the devastation that the artist would feel as he got back. And And you can imagine how God feels when one of His masterpieces that He's created and He's worked very hard on and He's knit together in a womb and He's put all these incredible things together and He's got these plans for this masterpiece and He's thinking about releasing it. And then when a choice is made to get rid of it, you can imagine. And we praise the Lord for His redemption. And Kathy, my heart is very heavy for anybody. I know you help people all the time who have been through what you've been through. And you see both sides of this. You see God's heart and you see the choices we make. And then we praise the Lord. We see His arms that are always open wide for forgiveness and for redemption. But thinking about that story, every one of you and myself, we're all masterpieces that got to be released to the world. God's beauty came. And He got to release us. Turn with me to Psalm 139. Let's look at verses 13 through 16. And let me show you what I'm talking about here. Psalm 139, 13 through 16. God says this in His Word. For You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in Your book before one of them came to be. There you see the artist. There you see Him at work. And that's how you got here. You see, first of all, we need to notice from this that He made you. He made you. And you belong to Him. Just like that art piece that He thought of and He planned it out. And He made it and He created it just how He wanted it. And whose was it? Of course, it's His. It's totally His. He made it. And He made you. And you belong to Him. You are His. You're His idea. You're His creation. You're His masterpiece. He's His creative work. He made you. And you see, what's so holy and special and amazing about you is we're told in Genesis when he made the first human being, we're told that He made us in His own image. You're unlike anything else God has ever created. You're unlike any animal, anything in all creation. You as a human being, you're the only thing that He made you in His image, in His likeness. And so you are amazing. You are holy. You're made in the image of God. And then when He did create us, He made us in Genesis. We're made in His image. Well, He is a great King. He is the King of everything. And so we're in His image. So He made us to be the King over everything else He created. God tells us that in Genesis. He made us the crown of His creation. And you know, every other day that God created, He said, "This is good. This is good. This is good." But, you know, on the day that He made you, on the day that He made man, humanity, He said, "This is very good. You're made in His image." And you see, you're special. You're made in His image. And so human life is holy. It's set apart. And there's a sanctity about it. You're the crown of His creation. And you see, He made you, so He owns you. You know, He owns everything. We know that. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Anything He made, it's His. You are His. He made you. He owns you. You're not your own. And He created you all the way through from your inmost being. He took special care, your spirit, your soul, who you were, your personality, everything about you, your gifts, your abilities, your passions that He put in your heart. Everything that He made about you is so unique and wonderful and special. And it's all His beautiful colors of His brush strokes. And from the inside out, your spirit, your body, even your features, your hair color, your eye color, what you would look like, where you would live, He ordained these things. And do you acknowledge that? Do you acknowledge that when you look in the mirror? Do you say, man, this is God's creation. This is amazing. You see, we need to release ownership. You don't need to look in the mirror and say, I, you know, this is my body, this is my life, this is my... No, don't you see, He owns you, He made you, you're His, you're just His creation, you're not your own. You're His masterpiece. And so He made you, and you belong to Him. And next we notice, we saw that in verse 13, next you notice that He made you amazing. Not only did He make you, and you belong to Him, but He made you amazing. He made you amazing. Look at verse 14. It says in verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. And that word fearfully in the Hebrew, that's yare. And that means with reverence and like astonishment. To be astonished and just reverence and awe. Like a holy awe. Like you need to fall down on your knees and bow down and be like, oh my goodness, look at this thing He made. That's how you are. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderfully made. And that word wonderfully, that word wonderfully in the Hebrew is pala. And that's unique. It's distinct. So it's like nothing else. Completely unique. And that is you. So He made you. You belong to Him. And you're not only just made, you are amazing. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Another thing we need to notice here in verses 15 and 16 is that He knew all about you before He made you. Not only did He make you and you belong to Him, just like that art piece, He made it. It belonged to Him. And not only that, but also that you are made amazing. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, just like that art piece. It was amazing. But also realize He knew all about you before He made you. You see, you remember that artist, you know, it's like he thought about, what am I going to do? What is this? And it's like he got the vision for it. And then he went to work. Well, you see, God knew you. He knew all about you before He made you. You see, He had a vision. He had an idea of what you would be. And we see that in verse 15 and 16. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You see, we know from Jeremiah 20:11, God says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. See, God had plans for you even before, when you were His idea, before He made you, He had plans for you. And you would be His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do these good works that He's prepared in advance for you to do. And so, And so he made you. Just think about the art piece, that artist. He made you. You belong to him. The art piece belongs to him. That's you. You're that incredible art piece. He made you. You belong to him. He made you amazing. You're not just something mass-produced. He made you amazing. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. That's that art piece of you. And then he knew all about you before he made you. You see, he knew your name. He decided what your name would be. You see, you thought your parents decided. But you see, he decided what your name would be. He knew. And then he decided his plans for you, what he would have for you. He decided how many days you would have here on the earth. And he had all that. And he had it ready to go. And then he was ready to release you to the world. And he has it. And you're here. But you know what happens so often? You know what happens so often is we struggle against what he made. So often it's this incredible art piece and he's made it for these purposes and he has these incredible, wonderful plans for it. But you know what? So often we struggle against it and we say, you know what? I'm going to take it. It's my art piece. And I'm going to do what I want with it. And I think I'd like to do this. And I'd like to do this. And I think I want to do this to it. And I'd like that. And you see, sometimes we struggle against him. And what he made you for and what he's got for you and his plans that he has for you. And sometimes we resist against it and we want to come up with our own plans. And we want to say, here's what I want to do with this art piece. I'm myself. I'm my own. In every moment that we struggle against him, we miss his plan. We miss what we were made for and we miss the incredible plans that he had for us and a wonderful, incredible life that he had planned out for us. And as much as we struggle against it and resist him, that much we miss it. We miss what he's got for us. Now, I thank the Lord for that prayer, that he has the power by his grace. I thank the Lord that as much as I have resisted him and as much as I resist him every day, I thank the Lord that I can pray, oh Lord, by your grace, would you please restore to me the years the locusts have eaten? You know, he can, even the things I've messed up, he can take it and he can still make an incredible plan. Even though I'm messing up his plan, praise the Lord. He can restore it. He can get it back on track. He can make it what it needs to be. Thank the Lord for that. Because I'm messing up his plan as much as I take hold of my life. And so are you. You're ruining his creation and his plans for you. As long as you resist him. As long as you're surrendered. And you see, so many of us, well, every one of us, we know by our sinful nature, we've resisted, we've struggled against his plan. And thank the Lord, he came and you know what? He paid a high price to get that art piece back out of our hands and back into his hands. You know, it says that you are bought at a price. And you're no longer your own. You no longer belong to you. You were bought at a price. And you see, thank the Lord, even though I took my life from him and you've taken your life from him and you're trying to live on your own, thank the Lord, he came and he said, I want that art piece back. And he gave his life. He paid with his blood to get it back. He gave everything so he could get that art piece back where it's supposed to be. And I thank the Lord, once you know that and I know that, thank the Lord, I can go back to him and I can say, all right, Lord, okay, I'm ready now. Thank you. You bought the art piece back again. Okay, I'm in your hand again. I belong to you. Now, you know, let me be who you made me to be and use me for what you want to use me for, what you made me, what you designed me for. Whatever plans you have for me, go ahead. I'll do nothing but sit back here and obey. I'll have no agenda. I'll have no will of my own. I'll have no desires of my own. Lord, I'm sorry. I've taken too much control of my life. I want to completely give it to you, and I want to say, Lord, it's back to you. It's in your hands. Stop struggling against him. And you know, we see, we've talked about abortion, and you know what that is with in this illustration, and think about other ways we've devalued That masterpiece. Think about what suicide is. Think about what that is. Well, that's God made this incredible masterpiece, this art piece. He made it amazing. It's fearfully and wonderfully made. He knew all about it, and he had the plans for it before he made it. He gave the person the name and the art piece the name, and he had its purpose. He knew what he wanted to use it for and everything. And just think about, well, what is suicide? Well, that's just completely taking it out of his hands and saying, you know, I'm just going to destroy it. I'm just going to get rid of it. It's not even ours to do that with. It's not even ours. We're stealing from somebody else. Our job is to completely surrender and say, Lord, I have no agenda, no will, no anything. I realize you paid for with your blood to have this art piece back, and I just want to fulfill the purpose you have. So I tell you what, my 100% of all I'm going to do is just obey you. You just let me know what to do. Just tell me the next step, and I'll obey that one. And then tell me the next one after that, and I'll obey that. And I'll stop thinking about this as my life. Father, we just ask that you would help us, Lord. Help us to do that. Thank you for these incredible lives, Lord. Words can't even describe each person that you have made here, Lord. Each masterpiece that is made by you, that belongs to you, that is amazing, that is fearfully. And Lord, we reverence you and your creations here, each of these people. Lord, we thank you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We thank you that you knew us before you created us. You decided what our name would be and what our purpose would be, how you would use us. And Lord, forgive us for everywhere we've resisted you, everywhere where we've thought it was our life to live, everywhere we've taken hold of this masterpiece and said, I'll do it how I want. Oh, forgive us, Lord, and please restore everything we've messed up. Thank you for your blood, Lord, that you bought us at a price, that we're no longer our own, Lord, that we can come back to you. And Lord, may our only goal be to obey you, let you have your way in our lives, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if there's somebody here today, maybe you've realized that Jesus paid with his blood so that you would be his. And you've realized today that you're not. You know you have sin in your life, and that sin has separated you from him forever. And if you die in that sin, the penalty is death and hell, eternal separation. But thank the Lord, he came for you and he paid everything for you. He took all your sin upon himself, and he took your punishment when he went to the cross. And he paid your punishment by his own blood. And then he's raised from the dead. And he says to you this morning, if you don't know him yet personally, if you don't have that relationship with him yet personally, he says, come. Come to me. He says, I stand at the door and knock. You can look at it as the door of your heart. And he says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. So if you need to do that this morning, if you need to completely surrender your life to him and acknowledge that you're his masterpiece and put it back in his hands, then you do that as Chris leads us in this song. And as God works in your heart, come and share that. Come and share that. As Chris leads us in this song, if God's doing something significant in your life right now, you step out of your seat and you come down and you share that. I can pray with you. I can share with you what he's doing. And you pray as Chris leads us in this song.